Thank you, Josh. Radio personality Paul Harvey used to tell the story of how an Eskimo would kill a wolf. And the account is somewhat grisly as I share it with you tonight. But it offers fresh insight, I think, really into the consuming, self-destructive nature of sin. First of all, the Eskimo will coat his knife blade with animal blood, and then he allows it to freeze. And then he adds another layer of blood and another until the blade is completely concealed by frozen blood. Next, the hunter will take his knife, fix it in the ground with the blade up. And when a wolf follows his sensitive nose to the source of the scent and discovers the bait, he begins to lick it. Tasting the fresh, frozen blood, he begins to lick faster and more vigorously, lapping the blade until the keen edge is bare. Feverishly now, harder and harder, the wolf licks the blade in the Arctic night. So great becomes his craving for blood that the wolf does not notice the razor-sharp sting of the naked blade on his own tongue, nor does he recognize the instant at which his insatiable thirst is being satisfied by his own warm blood. His carnivorous appetite just craves more until the dawn finds him dead in the snow. You know, it is a fearful thing what sin can do to people. And whether we believe it or not, sin is real, and the destructive nature of it is real. And it was to that end that Christ came into the world to die for fallen man, sinful man. And he shed his own blood that through his blood, you and I might be saved. I want to talk to you tonight about the good, the bad, and the ugly. And probably in your mind, you're wondering already what I'm talking about. I saw just a stare and a blank look on your face this morning when I announced that subject for tonight. I don't know how much you really know about angels, but I have done a lot of research on the subject of angels. It's always been a subject that has intrigued me, even from the time when Jacob dreamed in the book of Genesis chapter 28 about the angels ascending and descending a ladder from heaven down to earth. And how even Jesus in the book of John 1 and verse 51 said that at some point you will see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of God. I believe there's much more to angels than perhaps we'll ever know this side of eternity. I do know what the Bible has to say about them. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, the Bible says that we are to be careful to entertain strangers, not knowing but what we may be entertaining angels unaware. And the word entertaining doesn't mean that you're singing for them or that you're providing perhaps something for them in a physical way necessarily, like a Coke or a cup of coffee, and are entertaining them in that fashion, but it really means to respond to their needs, that we entertain them, as was the case of Abraham in the Old Testament. Some people do not believe in angels. They are like the Sadducees, of whom the Bible in the book of Acts 23 and verse 8 says that they neither believe in angels or spirits. Now, we've often said, well, the Sadducees, and a very identifying mark about the Sadducees is that they do not believe in a resurrection, and that's correct. But the Sadducees did not believe, according to what Acts 23 and verse 8 says, they didn't believe in angels either. They didn't believe in ministering spirits. But they are there. You know, Sherlock Holmes, in looking for evidence, would find certain things, and On one occasion, he found water, and he, by deductive reasoning, would say that if there is a puddle of water, there has to be a greater source somewhere. You know, when we look at the world around us and how corrupt and how evil it is, we have to say in our mind's eye that there is something behind all of this much greater than perhaps we can understand or comprehend. And that is the demons or fallen angels. In the book of Ephesians 6 and verse 12, the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And against the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. The greatest war that is being fought tonight is not the one in Iran or Iraq or in Afghanistan, but is the war in your mind. The devil and your mind really has become somewhat of a line of scrimmage, so to say. We often say whoever controls the line of scrimmage in football is the winner and will win the game, and that's true. And your mind is that line of scrimmage, and the devil is over here. He's warring and he's fighting against God. Angels are more involved in your life than you will ever know. I said the good, bad, and the ugly. There are good angels, by the way, and in the Bible, the Word of God refers to the mighty angels of God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, that when Christ comes again in flaming fire with His holy or with His mighty angels. And then we read in the book of Matthew 26 and 33 how Christ could have commanded legions of angels to come and minister to Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. The good angels are those that would minister to Christ in the book of Matthew chapter 4 when Christ was undergoing tremendous temptation. And the Bible says that after a time the angels came and they ministered unto Him. The holy angels are those, or the good angels, and they're called holy angels in Matthew 25 and verse 31 when the Bible talks about Christ coming again. But then there are the bad angels. They are demonic in nature. They are the ones of whom the Bible in the book of Jude verse 6 says that they kept not their first state. And then there is the ugly, and that is the devil himself. Well, there are 3 points to the lesson tonight. The first one being, where did angels and demons come from? Where did the good and the bad and the ugly have their origin? Well, in the book of Genesis, the Bible says God always existed, and in Psalms chapter 90, the Word says that from everlasting to everlasting thou art God. The word angel in the Greek language just simply means messenger. You could either have a messenger of God or a messenger of Satan. Paul talks about the messenger of Satan that came to buffet his body. In Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6, Nehemiah, the great prophet of God, said, "You made heaven and the starry host and the multitudes to worship God." I think it's interesting that in the Bible, when the Word of God talks about angels, they're also called the stars of heaven. And over in the book of Psalms, chapter 148, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, praise ye the Lord, from the heavens praise Him in the highest." Why were they created, the good angels? Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. And praise Him, ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heaven of heavens, and ye waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. Now, a lot of people always ask the question, well, If God created all things, did He create a devil? Yes, He created an angel, but He didn't create the demonic spirit of that angel. You know how I know that? Because the Bible says in the book of Genesis that when God created everything, that He created it and He saw that it was good. When you came into this world, God said it was good. When you were born from your mother's womb and you came into this world, you came into this world in a state of innocence and purity. And God said it is good. But the book of James says that a man is often drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. And lust brings forth sin, and sin brings forth death or separation from God. Wasn't in the mind of God that man would sin. It wasn't in the mind of God that Lucifer would fall from heaven or that Satan would be cast down from heaven, according to the Bible. In the book of Job 8 or 38, God asked Job the question, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth, of the world? And then in verse 7 of that same text, he mentions the morning stars that sing together and shout for joy when he's talking about the angels of God. And it has to be that somewhere between the first and the third day of creation that angels were created. But why? We know how they got here, because God created them. But why are angels and demons here? In Genesis 1 and verse 31, the Bible again saw that everything was good. God created. So God did not create anything bad. He created mankind. But in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, the devil comes on the scene. So something transpires and something happens. There is a rebellion in heaven. One angel thinks that he is much greater than God. And he gets the other angels, or a number of them, to rebel against God. But what did God do? In 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, the word says that God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto the coming judgment of the Almighty. Well, what really happened? Well, for your information, I'd like for you to turn tonight to the book of Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. For the Bible says that there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, and neither was there found place for them any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Michael is called the archangel. And that archangel fights against Satan. And in Revelation 12, verse 3 and 4, there had to be, as the Bible calls it here, about a third of the angels that went with the devil and were cast into hell. That left about two-thirds in heaven. But why? Why did it happen? Well, according to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, the word again says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did waken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into the heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, that is, the angels of God, and I will sit upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, and they shall see thee, narrowly look upon thee, and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake the kingdoms? One angel. Lucifer, the very word Lucifer, meant morning star, morning angel. In the Hebrew, it means the light angel over all other angels. Can you imagine anyone taking on Jehovah God? Satan had a Muhammad Ali complex. I am the greatest. So he thought, until God brought him low. If you'll notice in that particular text in Isaiah, that Lucifer uses the words, I will ascend to the heaven. I will be above God. And that one statement is mentioned 5 times there in the book of Isaiah chapter 14. I will. And isn't it interesting that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was not so presumptive enough to even say, I will do this or that. But he would say of God, thy will be done. And in John the 9th chapter, he said, I must do the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. I must do the will of God. Those words, I will, were never ever heard in heaven by any angel. But why are angels and demons here? The angels of God are here to minister to us. And as I said, there's so much said in the Bible about ministering angels that it might be a little bit hard for us to grasp in such a short time. The Bible says that when Jesus was hungry and after having gone through all those tremendous temptations and the onslaught of the devil himself, the ugly, that angels ministered to him. The angels of God ministered to Elijah. And the Bible says that when Lazarus died in the book of Luke chapter 16, that he was born by the angels into the presence of God. I've told you many, many times, and I've said it, and I've felt the presence of angels in rooms with those who were sick and nigh unto death. I have been in the room holding the hands of people who drew their last breath and were borne away on angels' wings. Ministering angels. But I also believe that there are demonic angels. You know, the Bible talks about hell as the place that is prepared for the devil and his angels, his messengers. And I believe that Satan has his messengers all over this world tonight. And they're bearing his message. And many are being subdued by such angels. They have been led to believe that wrong is okay. They have been led to believe that things that are corrupt are pure. They have been led to believe that things that are immoral in the sight of God have suddenly become moral. They have fooled the very minds of those who claim to be so astute and so wise. And Christ in his ministry often warned that the time would come when even the very elect of God could be led astray. And that's why Paul would say, take heed to yourselves, lest you fall. Because Satan and his angels are alive and well. Satan's angels are here because of pride. Isn't that what the writer said, that Lucifer was cast out of heaven? The devil was cast out of heaven because he tried to ascend to the throne of the Almighty? It was pride. He said, I will be above the God of heaven and above his stars. Well, according to the book of Proverbs chapter 6, one thing that God hates is pride. The Bible in the book of James says that God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Pride goeth before a fall, as well as a haughty spirit. And the devil is here to take you down. That's why he's here. He is here to take you down. There's no place in heaven for him. That's where we're going. For the Christian, that's where we're going. And that's why God says in the book of Revelation chapter 21, John records the words, I saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was found no place for them. Why? Because it is demonic. And he describes heaven as that place where there are no tears, no heartache, no sorrow, no pain anymore. And that's brought on by the devil, folks. Well, Satan is no longer the morning star. But he in the book of John 8 is called the deceiver, the father of lies. Well, what do I need to know last of all about angels and demons very quickly? We need to know that just as that wolf can bring about his own death and physical demise, that you and I appreciated Mark's prayer a moment ago when he prayed for God to watch over us and care for us spiritually as well as physically, because we are in a spiritual war. That we are what we choose ourselves to be. What do I need to know? Some people never give angels a second thought. But angels are real. Demons are real. Don't laugh at them. People do laugh at them and jestingly refer to them, but they are real. Why do people get hooked on drugs and alcohol and pornography? Why do people get hooked on illicit relationships? Why do people suddenly believe that things that are condemned of God and things that are immoral have suddenly become so moral and good? It's because the devil or the ugly is leading us to believe such. So I hope tonight that you'll have a greater perception of what the Bible teaches about angels. And as I said, they may be leading you more than you realize. The Bible speaks about guardian angels who watch over our souls. Perhaps they've guarded you to this very point tonight. Maybe you're not a Christian tonight. But God has been patient. And he has given you space to hear the word of God and to know the truth. In some way, maybe by a friend, maybe by a sermon, maybe just by having the privilege of reading the Bible. And what we do with that knowledge that we acquire can ultimately determine whether or not we will leave this world on angels' wings, or we'll be carried by the demonic angels to a devil's hell. And that's a choice that every one of us must make. I hope you make the right choice tonight. And if you're not a Christian and you believe in Jesus Christ, and you believe that he came into this world to die to save all sinners like you and me, and you're willing to relinquish the reins of your life and give it to him, and let him lead you. And let him use his angels to guide us and lead us in ways that sometimes are beyond our imagination. And you're willing to acknowledge him as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you can have a realistic hope of heaven. But if not, there's no other way. So I hope you'll choose that right way tonight. While Jesus tenderly calls, let us stand and let us sing.